Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. If you have a Bible this morning, we're going for the next few weeks, we're going to be going through the book of Jonah. And if you'll be finding the great book of Jonah, I want to just introduce the message with these thoughts. Our God is a God of grace and mercy. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "It's not God's will that any might perish, but that all might come to repentance." It's not God's will that anybody might go to hell. It is God's personal will for everyone to be saved. Now, we know not everybody's going to be saved. But I want to tell you, that's what God wants. That's what God desires. And everybody's got a choice to make whether they're going to be saved or not. And so with that in mind, we're going to be moving through the book of Jonah over the next few Sundays. And I'm excited about it. And I've entitled the message this morning, "You Can Run, But You Can't Hide." Several years ago, there was a little young boy in our church, and we were out playing together and doing some things out on the playground, and he stuck his head out of the little log cabin thing that we'd built there for the kids, and he said, "Brother Cal, you can hide, but you can't run." That's true in a lot of ways. So this morning, before we're not going to stand because I'm going to be reading through the whole chapter, but I want to give you some information about Jonah. The book of Jonah is not about a great fish. It mentions a great fish 4 times, mentions a great city 9 times, mentions a disobedient prophet 18 times, but the book of Jonah mentions the name of God 38 times. Jonah is a book about our great God and about His will and how we respond to it. And Jonah was a prophet of God to the nation of Israel during some dark days for Israel. She was spiritually apostate. She was committing spiritual adultery and immorality against the Lord. And so that's the atmosphere that this prophet Jonah is preaching in. Around 790 B.C., during the reign of King Jeroboam II. And it is in this atmosphere that God calls Jonah to go and do His will. And I don't know where you are this morning, but I want to tell you, you are never better off than when you're in the center of God's will. And I'd be safer over in Afghanistan this morning in God's will than crossing the street here on Riverside Drive out of God's will. So that's my prayer, that today all of us would get on board with God's will for our lives. All right, now there's several movements in this. And by the way, Jesus talked about Jonah as being a real person and used his 3 days in the belly of that great fish as an illustration of his own death, burial, and resurrection, and called it the sign of Jonah. So, I mean, there's tremendous biblical evidence and historical proof that this event really happened. And so there's 3 movements I want to give to you from this text from chapter 1. And the first thing that really jumps out at me is the prophet's flight. The prophet's flight. Look at verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" Father, bless your word today. Just get the preacher behind the cross. Lord, just hide me, and we would see Jesus this morning. Speak to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, I guess I want to talk for just a moment about the substance of God's will. Now, the word of God comes to Jonah. And isn't it amazing that God would want to speak to any of us? Isn't it? I mean, that blows me away that God would want to speak to anybody. But
In those days, Hebrews chapter 1 says that in times past, God spoke to us through the prophets, but in these latter days has spoken to us through the person of His Son. And so God speaks to us through His Word. And so God's got a word for us this morning. He had a word for Jonah. Now, He wanted Jonah to go to the great city of Nineveh. Excuse me, that's over in modern-day Assyria. Or rather, modern-day Iraq. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. And he wanted, that was kind of northeast from where Jonah was in Israel. Okay? And he wanted them to go preach to the people of Nineveh. And he was supposed to preach a message of turn or burn, repent or perish, or get right or get left. Okay? And a tough message of repentance and faith. And here's the deal, folks. Listen to me. God loves lost people. God loves lost people. Now, God loves you. Look at your neighbor and tell them, God loves you. Now, say it like Billy Graham, God loves you. All right. But God loves everybody, and especially lost people. They're on His heart. And so God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach a message of repentance and faith. And by the way, there's never been any other way to be saved. Thank you for the drink. Yes. And I got so much to say, and I don't have enough. I can't talk fast enough to get it out. You ever been there? All right. So let me tell you a little bit about the Assyrians, okay? Just to prove to you that God loves everybody. The Assyrians were a bloodthirsty bunch. They were the arch enemies of the Israelites. And the Assyrians, you know what they'd do to their enemies? They'd pull their lips off. They would skin people alive. They would take people's heads off and place their skulls at the city gate. They would impale people on poles. They would even kill your children right in front of you. I mean, these were awful people, and their sin had come up to God, and He was ready to do something about it. And so He comes to Jonah, and He says, Jonah, I want you to go preach a message of repentance to these people. And let me say this. We've been given the same word. Mark 16:15, write this down. Says that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've been given the same message that God gave to Jonah. That's His will. God loves everybody. And He wants everyone to be saved. You mean tell me, Brother Cal, God loves murderers? Yes. God loves serial killers. God loves the pimp and the prostitute. God loves the drug addict and the dope peddling pusher. I mean, God loves the child abuser. God loves everybody. Now, I'll just make a confession. I'm not there yet. I want to get there because that's the way God thinks. And that's the way God feels. But God loves everyone, and He wants everyone to be saved. Is everybody going to be saved? Probably not. But I've entitled, you know what I'm calling this thing that we're calling it, the Jesus and General Jackson Rally? I'm calling it Nineveh number two. God, that's the substance of God's will, okay, that we would proclaim and share the good news with everyone. Whew. But now look at the avoidance of God's will. Look at verse 3. But with me. Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And so Jonah gets this message from God, and he hated the Ninevites, and he wanted God to destroy the city of Nineveh, not deliver the city of Nineveh. Y'all with me? He hated the Assyrians, much like we hate certain people and certain things. Remember, God loves all folks, everybody. I mean, how can God love? He just does. And so when God said go, Jonah said no. Not on your life. Now remember, he's supposed to head northeast. And he goes down to Joppa, which is southwest. The exact opposite direction that he's supposed to go. He goes to that port city of Joppa, and he boards a ship going to Tarshish. Now, let me tell you how far Tarshish was. That was considered to be the end of the world in those days. It was over in modern-day Spain, 2,000 miles away. Now, obviously, Jonah understood you can't run. I'm getting a lot of something or other. What is all this? I'm about ready to take this thing off. God wanted him to go northeast. He goes southwest. He is in direct disobedience of God's will. Are y'all with me now? Okay, and folks, get this. There wasn't a ship going to Tarshish every day, 2,000 miles away. But you know what? If you want to run from God, the devil will provide transportation for you. If you want to run from God, the devil will provide transportation for you. You want to leave your spouse, the devil will provide a ship. You want to live in immorality, the devil will bring a ship into your life so you can do that. You want to be out of God's will for your life, the devil will supply every need you got to do that. If you want to hate somebody, hate the devil. And so he's headed to Tarshish. That's where he's going. And by the way, sin will blind you to spiritual truth. Jonah's a man of God. He's a prophet. He's a preacher. He knows you can't run from God, but he's running from God's will. Sin will blind you from spiritual truth. You can't get away from God. Does anybody know what Psalm 139 says? Listen to this. You don't have to go there. I'll read it for you. Psalm 129, 7 through 10 says this. I love this passage of Scripture. Excuse me, Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take, and that word hell there means the grave, okay? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. And your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. We can't get away from God. You can't get. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And so Jonah's running from God. He's in direct disobedience with the Lord. Now, don't miss this. Watch this. Don't miss this. In verse 3, he says he found a ship going to Tarshish, and so he did what? He paid the fare. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you listen to the pastor this morning. If you're going to run from God, you're going to pay the fare. If you're going to fall out of church, you're going to pay the fare. If you're going to work against God and rebel against His will for your life, you're going to pay the fare. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Separation from God. There's a payment. There's a payday for sin. We can't sin and get by with it, brothers and sisters. We cannot do that. I mean, if Jesus didn't get away with my sin, what makes me think I can? Think about that. You're going to pay the fare. If you're going to live in immorality and have sex outside of marriage, you're going to pay the fare. If you're going to live in a lot of guys struggle with pornography. Brothers, let me tell you something. You're going to pay the fare. It's going to cost you. We need to get right with our sin today. Because a lot of us are headed to Tarshish. And we're out of God's will. Jonah's in direct disobedience of the will of God. Now let's look at the providence of God's will. And by the way, the only direction that you're going to go if you're running from the will of God in your life is down. Jonah went down to Joppa. He went down to the ship. He went down under the deck. And he goes down into the sea. The only direction we're going to go when we rebel against the will of God for our lives is down. Whew. I'm not going to leave you bleeding. We're going to end with some good stuff now, okay? Hang in here with me. Now, look at verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Folks, God's got all kinds of things at His disposal to get us back in the center of His will. And if we won't listen to His Word, He'll send a storm. He'll send a storm. He'll use the wind and the waves and the water. He'll use whatever He's got at His disposal to get His people in line with His will. Whew! I don't know why we do this. And I'm speaking to me as well as I'm speaking to y'all. But we treat the will of God like a cafeteria line. Well, I'll take a little bit of this. I think I'll have a little bit of that. Oh, and that looks good. But I don't want that. Brothers and sisters, when God says frog, we better jump. We better jump. Here's what it all boils down to. Does God have a better plan for me in my life than I do? Absolutely. God knows everything that there is to know. You can't teach Him anything. He's got our best interest at heart, and He's got a providential will that is going to happen. And when He asks us to do something, to go into all the world, that includes Clarksville, that includes Afghanistan, that includes and preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel, share the gospel with every creature. That's what God expects us to do. I don't know where you're at with this will of God thing in your life. Are you in God's perfect will right now? Are you doing what? Maybe you're out of God. Maybe it's a relationship that you're in and you know it's not God's will. Get out of it. Run. Maybe it's a call of God on your life and you're running from it. Hello? Maybe it's a neighbor God's called you to go see and you're running from it. Maybe it's a coworker. I want to tell you, whatever it is that God's asking you to do, He'll supply everything you need to do what He wants you to do. And then later on, guess what He's going to do? He's going to reward you for doing what He asked you to do and give you what you need to do it. You can't get any better than God's will for your life. Jonah's running. And so God sends a storm. And by the way, I'm living proof. I spent about 4.5, I don't spend any time glorifying this, 4.5, 5 years running from God. And I found out, you can't run from God. You can't run from Him forever. And He'll send a storm into your life. And here's another truth we don't like to talk about. But there comes a point in time when you've so torn up your testimony and worn out your witness, God will take you out of here. It's all through the Scriptures. So we see the prophet's flight. Look at the sailors' fear. Verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down, there it is again, into the lowest parts of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What's your occupation, and where do you come from, and what's your country, and of what people are you?" And so he said to them, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Now, let me pick up right there. Jonah is in the biggest storm of his life and he doesn't even know it. He's down below deck asleep. You know, running from God will exhaust you. It's hard work to run away from God. It'll make an old man and an old woman out of you. How many of you can testify to that? I know I can. And so Jonah's asleep in the bottom of the boat, and the captain comes down. They're upstairs praying to all their gods. Why? I mean, the forecast was for sunshine. And all of a sudden, they're in the middle of a hurricane, and they're wanting to know what's up. And they're praying to their false gods. They, of course, they hear nothing from their false gods. And they go downstairs. Isn't that amazing? Jonah missed the prayer meeting. He's out of God's will. And so the captain goes downstairs. He's asleep and he wakes Jonah up and said, "Who are you? Where'd you come from? What's the matter with you? Why are we in the middle of this storm?" Isn't it amazing? The man of God, the prophet of God, the preacher of the Lord, they don't even know who he is. Do folks know who we are? Do people know you're a believer? Do folks know you're a Christ follower? They should. They didn't know who Jonah was. And so finally, to make a long story short, Jonah kind of owned up to it. And he said, "Well, I'm running from God. I'm one of God's prophets. I'm one of God's preachers. And the reason y'all are in the mess you're in is because of me." Did you know our sin affects not only us, but everybody around us? It affects the little ones. It affects the old ones. It affects everybody. Sin will do a... Sin, I love this old quartet song. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, leave you longer than you want to stay, and cost you far more than you ever want to pay. And isn't this a picture of the church? Jonah's asleep in a whale of a gale, pardon the pun. And you know, I look at our city, and I want to tell you, our city is rocking and reeling. We are in a storm of sin. Our little children are being taken advantage of here. They're being abused. Our teenagers are swimming in a sea of alcohol, and they're drowning in a cesspool of prescription pills and dope. And you know what the church is doing? We're asleep. I'm not talking about Second Mile. I'm talking about the church in Clarksville. Families are falling apart. I mean, sin that used to slink down the back alleys in darkness are now proudly strutting up Main Street in Clarksville. I mean, pornography, sodomy, sexual immorality, all of it. We are in a storm and the church is asleep. God, help us to wake up and do something about this mess. And let me tell you something. Let me give you something positive. God can do more in one moment than we can do in a lifetime. And this is His heart, the stuff we're talking about today. Verse 10, "Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'Why have you done this?' For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." Then they said, isn't it amazing? Jonah would rather die than do what God's calling him to do. And these soldiers, they're scared to death. They are scared to death. And you know, when you come down to a life-threatening situation, you start thinking about eternity. Do you know why people need to be saved? You know why folks need to be saved? Three reasons. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. And you don't want to go to hell. Three reasons. We talked about that last week. Now look at this with me. Verse 12. "And he said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood.'" What a great prayer. "For you," they're praying to Jonah's God now, "'For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.' So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. You know what amazes me? You got a bunch of lost people on board the ship, and Jonah should have been a witness to them. But you know what? God loved these people so much that he showed himself strong to them anyways. And so they take Jonah, and they said, you know, and they tried to get to the shore. They're rowing furiously, can't get anywhere. And Jonah said, if you'll just throw me overboard, I'm the reason y'all are in this mess. Just throw me overboard. And that's what they do. They ask him to forgive them. They ask God to forgive them. And immediately what happens? Peace. And those lost sailors asked for forgiveness for what they'd done. And they offered up sacrifices and made promises and vows to the Lord. Sounds like salvation to me. Isn't God good? God's so much bigger than what we give Him credit for. And so Jonah is now going down into the sea. Verse 17, let's look at the Lord's fish and we'll finish with this. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish. How long? All right. So this is a prepared fish. Now, I know what you're thinking. How in the world could a person live in the belly of a great big fish, a whale, let's say? Well, we've got concrete evidence that a person can live. In 1891, off the coast of the Falkland Islands, a man by the name of James Bartley went overboard, fell into the sea, and guess what? A great big sperm whale swallowed him up. And he was in the belly of that whale for a day and a half. And when the whale spit him out, his face, his hands, and his feet, the back of his neck was bleached stark white, but he was alive. Real story. Really happened. And don't you think if we could put a submarine on the very bottom of the ocean and put men on the moon, that God could deal with a backslidden Baptist preacher in the belly of a whale. For 3 days and three nights, Jonah is in that belly of the whale. This is a prepared fish. And it's also a prison fish. Jonah is in prison for 3 days and three nights. God's dealing with him, and we'll move through this as we get through the book. But I've often wondered, how did God get that fish to swallow Jonah? God can do anything. And so he tells that fish to swallow Jonah. And I imagine the fish said something like, you know, Lord, bitter people don't taste good. I don't know what it's going to take to get some of y'all in here to smile. Jonah could have written a book, Jaws, The Inside Story. But Jonah's in the belly of this fish now for 3 days and three nights in the hot, humid, stinking belly of this big whale. And God's dealing with him. I'm telling you, you don't want to be out of the will of God. And Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 40, even as Jonah was in the belly of a whale, or the belly of a great fish, for 3 days and three nights, so will I be in the sea of judgment and in a prison tomb for 3 days and three nights. Jesus, by the sign of Jonah, spent 3 days in a sea of judgment for each one of you. And me. And on that third day, he got up with all power, and he is alive today. My brother, my sister, I don't know what age you are. I don't know how old everybody is in here, but I want to tell you, however, whenever God chooses to come get me, I want to finish my race well. And I want to be right smack dab in the center of what God wants for my life. And guess what time it is? It's response time. every time the Word of God is read, taught, or preached, we have a decision to make. Are we going to respond in obedience or not? What's God's will? What's He telling you to do? Well, you've already heard one thing that He's told every single one of us to do. Would you allow God to speak to your heart this morning? Would you just say, Lord, I'm sold out to what You want for my life. I'll do whatever You want me to do. Because I know You have my best interest at heart. And whatever You want me to do is for my good and Your glory. I've been praying for y'all this week that we would surrender afresh and anew to His will. Would you bow your head and just close your eyes? Please don't be looking around. I want to pray for you, but before I pray, well, Lord, let me go ahead and pray. Father, I would ask by the power of the blood of Jesus that You would cleanse our hearts this morning. God, that You would do what You need to do right here and right now. And if you're here this morning and you're out of God's will and you need prayer, or maybe you're like one of those soldiers or those sailors, you're afraid of eternity because you don't know where you'd spend eternity. You're out of God's will, you're a believer, or you're like one of those sailors, you're not sure about your eternity. I want to ask you by the power of God today that's right here with us. His presence is right here. If that would be your testimony, I want you to just stand to your feet. Everybody's got their head bowed. Nobody's looking around. Yes, Brother Cal, I'm out of God's will. Just stand to your feet. I'm not sure about my eternity. Stand to your feet just right now. Come on. Come on. Stand up to your feet right now, wherever you are. Jesus is passing by this morning. Don't miss Him. I'm out of God's will. Would you pray for me? That's all I'm going to ask you to do right now. Just stand to your feet. I'm not sure about if I'm going to heaven or hell. All I'm going to ask you to just stand to your feet. Father, I don't want to draw this thing out, but I know in my spirit, Lord, that this body of believers needs to be smack dab in the center of Your will, with all of our sins forgiven, with our hearts that are clean, in order for us to reach Clarksville. God, clean this church up. Clean me up. Rid me of the sin that so easily besets me. Oh God, do what You want to do. In Jesus' name I pray.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.